You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth, the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
And we're back for hour two of the Alternative Media. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Shouf this Saturday, May 22nd, 2021. And I'm here with my panel of co-hosts, Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, Paul Edward Stevenson, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And well, we're discussing the theme of white genocide denier. We're discussing the kosher control of both sides of the narrative and discussing the Gaza situation, how that reflects on all this as well.
I was wondering if I could throw in a quote.
Sure. Yeah. You wanted to throw in a quote, Paul?
Yeah. From Ford and some of his writers contributed to that book. It says, with Zionism as a political fact, every government is now compelled to have something to do. It is a bigger question than any other word question. It lies back of all word problems, large or small, national or international, and is rapidly proceeding under cover of many other interests. Now, this is a really interesting part here. It said, it is worthy of note that Zionism in the active modern political sense took its rise racially and geographically where Bolshevism rose, namely in Russia, and that there were always a close relationship between the Zionists of Russia and the New York Kahila, as was evidenced by public utterances made in Russia after the revolution in which the Kahila was extolled. I thought that was a good quote and would be worthy of some feedback on.
Okay. Well, yeah, for comment on that, but to also finish the point you were making, Mike, you seem to see some light at the end of the tunnel that white people can wake up before they finish contributing to their own genocide gradual breeding out, but seeing that both sides are controlled, you're saying, is at least the first step. And you were continuing with your point a bit?
Yeah, I think that understanding that they control both sides the majority of the time is a big step in actually empowering us to break through the narrative, to transcend the construct, as you say, Richard. I think it's very important. I mean, Vladimir Putin, for instance, in 1999, when he assumed power, the two main advisors that he picked to lead his rule were Lev Leviev and Roman Abramovich, two Jewish oligarchs that were very key in the power behind Vladimir Putin. I mean, that is common knowledge, common fact. It cannot be overlooked. Yeah, I do think. I mean, Vladimir Putin, former head of the KGB, is a very integral part in this grand chessboard scheme that they are playing us by. I mean, and it cannot be overlooked. And I don't think that is a black pill, if you want to use that term. I think it's a very important fact for us to understand. Until we understand that we will never be able to empower ourselves truly and to take back what we have lost in white Western civilization until we recognize the fact that they rule by deception and infiltration. And that is not, that is a good thing to bring out to the masses, because people need to know how the game is played. You know, they control both sides of the quote-unquote kosher sandwich. You have the right and the left, and it's Hegelian dialectic. This is not a conspiracy. This is fact, and I think it's important to bring that out. I mean, Trump, for instance, Ivanka Trump, was good friends with Roman Abramovich's wife. The Kushners were directly connected to Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, Putin never has been a true, I always say that Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Jutin, is the Donald Trump of Russia. And I stand by that. But until we recognize how the game is played, we will never win. And I'll turn it over, Richard. Thanks.
Patrick, would you like to respond to that?
I would like to respond to that. So in 1999, Boris Yeltsin was president of Russia. He was president thanks to a fake 1996 election that he had actually lost, and the Communist Party leader, Gennady Zhuganov, had won. There are elections looming in the year 2000, and Boris Yeltsin's popularity in Russia was about 2%, because during the 1990s, with the help of international Jewry, with the help of Lawrence Summers and Peter Orszag, and from the U.S. Treasury Department, and Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard, and a bunch of other people, a bunch of other Jewish people, the wealth of the former Russian Republic of the Soviet Union had been largely transferred to a small group of oligarchs. There was no way that they were going to be able to fake another election for Boris Yeltsin, who was thoroughly alcoholic by that time. And they were going through one prime minister after another, trying to find a savior, because otherwise Gennady Zhuganov, who was the head of the Russian Communist Party, but also somebody said, well, if Jews, if they want to be Russian, they can stay here. But if they're not going to act like Russians, they need to get the hell out. That's what he said. And so they came upon, in 1999, a rather obscure Vladimir Putin. So there's no doubt that Vladimir Putin was brought into the prime ministership in 1999 under the Yeltsin government as a way to save the situation for the oligarchs. There's no doubt. I mean, that we all know. Now, Boris Yeltsin and his government were always loved by the American media. They were built up. Bill Clinton called him the George Washington of Russia. Well, what's happened since then? I mean, since then, you've had a lot of Jewish oligarchs fled to Britain, fled to Israel. Some were put in prison, and the rest, for the most part, were left with their fiefdoms as long as they didn't interfere too much in politics. You've got the American media, which is gone from being very pro-Russian and pro-Boris Yeltsin in the 1990s to being extremely hostile to Vladimir Putin, to the extent that they literally bang the drums for war. I mean, we're on the verge of World War III. So there's been a massive change on the part of American Jewish attitudes towards Vladimir Putin from 1999 to now. And so to say that in 1999, when he was brought in, when he had no basis of political support in Russia, to say that he had advisors from the oligarch class, it says nothing about whether or not he has controlled opposition today or for the past two decades. And I would say that what he did is he came in, and within the through a successful little war against Chechnya, he got people to rally around the flag, rally around his own leadership. He came from behind to win an election that didn't seem to be fake. He beat Gennady Zhuganov, and he's been extremely popular. And under his leadership, in great contrast to Boris Yeltsin, the living standards of the Russians has gone way up, and Russia's become. Yeah, and you can make lots of criticisms of Putin, but it would be hard to look at any other leader in the 21st century whose people have done as well under his leadership, under the leadership of a ruler. So I completely reject the idea of him being controlled opposition or controlled whatever. He was picked to be a puppet of the oligarchs. He was selected to be a puppet of the oligarchs. But I would say that very early on, that he bit the hand that fed him. And as a result, you have been seeing from the American media, from American Jewry, you've been seeing a massive attack on him. There's a reason for that. And then just getting back to Hamas, you know, I don't with Hamas. Okay, so if Hamas is controlled opposition, if PLO is controlled opposition, okay, fair enough. What in Palestine would non-controlled opposition look like? I mean, they're surrounded. They're isolated. What would it even look like? And that's a question.
Okay, well, who would like to respond to that?
Well, I'd like to add, you know, that Putin also hugely restored the Orthodox Church in Russia, which the Bolsheviks had almost completely obliterated, certainly publicly. They had to go underground in that century under the Bolshevik Revolution and the Soviet Union, and he's restored that. I don't think that was something that either side, Bolsheviks or Zionists, would have desired. I think I would lean more to, I mean, I think it's nuanced, but I would lean way more to Patrick's view on things here, you know. And even when you look in the Middle East, I mean, we know that, you know, for their own purposes, that the Israelis, you know, and the CIA and everything else were funding and arming jihadi terrorists and had infiltrated al-Nusra and al-Qaeda. There's nothing new in that. The British did the same thing with the Provisional IRA. And but it's not always just a black and white thing. They never control everything. You know, there's battles within Hamas, no doubt. And there was in the Provisional IRA. And you had guys in the IRA which were suspicious of other IRA members that were possibly working for MI5, and they were staunch, still fighting the British. And I think it's probably quite similar in the Middle East. You know, there's a lot of death squads, for example, and just mercenaries that were involved in Syria, which started off that conflict actually in Homs in 2011, because they, you know, and they're using, you know, it's well known, certainly in alternative circles, that they're using proxy jihadi, you know, groups to dethrone Syria. So I think it's more nuanced. I think they try to infiltrate these groups, but they never really control it completely. It's, you cannot say that. It's much more nuanced than that, you know.
Or Stephen, what are your thoughts?
The notion that they control both sides, I think, is maybe overstepping or not seeing the correct picture. They own both sides, and they construct the conflict in such a manner that whoever wins the conflict, they benefit. It goes to the whole control out of chaos thing that's been happening, the deception, infiltration, chaos, and then no matter what the result is, we own both sides, so we're going to win in the end. I think that that's more the strategy that's been used over the years, just the way it looks to me. Now, I don't know, you know, you guys probably know more about this than I do, but that's just how it struck me. And to say that they completely control us, no, but yeah, it looks like that, you know, they're going to win in the end is kind of the strategy in my view. That's just how it looks for me. What do you guys think?
Well, we actually have a caller on the line, Paul in California. Good morning.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Good, good. Yeah, Paul was actually on my show a couple times this week at Beyond the Official Narrative. Pretty good discussions. But yeah, please, what are your thoughts on this topic, Paul?
Well, just to react in the instant matter, what I just heard about they win in the end because they control both sides, I would kind of like to say, well, I think they're winning. They've been winning. Pretty much that's what they do. They do nothing but win, and we talk about it. What I find interesting is the discussion about all the what's going on in other countries, and again, not to you know, say, well, it's not important, But I sort of feel, you know, staying with the theme of denying white genocide, for example, that white people in other countries more than likely look to us. I mean, if I was living in another country, you know, except for maybe a large power like Russia, I would be wondering, hey, one of those, you know, white people in America with a history of standing up to, you know, tyranny or authoritarian rule, when are they going to, you know, take care of the business in their own house? That's what I would be thinking if I was living in another country. For whatever that's worth.
All right, who wants to...
I couldn't agree more. I think you're right. I think that the analogy of us in, here in this country to Gaza is more like it's like South Africa is more like the white people's Gaza. And if we don't stand up, then that's the kind of situation that will result here. I believe that that's a very good point. You know, we and as much as I do think that it's important, the global thing, I mean, I'm living in this too. That's another good point. Here I am. I'm not up there in, you know, Chicago. Is that what the latest instead of Chirac? Now it's Chicago with this this mayor. But yeah, that there's a lot of this race war that's being pumped here, and whitey's bad. I mean, that's the second. I don't know. It's a toss up whether that or this death jab. That, you know, which is the most important thing we need to stand up to now. We need to do something to stand up as white people, but just as people too. Both of those issues, you know, need to be addressed as Americans, but as a white race too, because they're decided. It seems like these powers that be that we, you know, that have always won, they have slated both of those things for destruction. And if we don't stand up to it now, well, you know, we're the loser. So I think those were good points. Thanks, Paul.
That was a good reaction. I had a further thought too. I've had this kind of a vision in my head for a little while now, and I thought I would, I never thrown it out on the air, but this is probably a perfect time in this panel, because I am a veteran listener of Dr. Pierce and also Kevin Alfred Strom and the sort of things they say. I think in essence our struggle is not so much political, although we can use political means. Our struggle is racial. And that these are they're biological questions that you know, need to be embraced. And anyway, the vision in my head is a tombstone, you know, a headstone in a cemetery where it says, "Here lies the white race. They gave us the Constitution and Western civilization, but ultimately they weren't very racist enough." More or less, you guys can respond to that. Yeah.
And that's the tragic irony.
But Paul?
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, Paul. Go ahead.
That's the tragic irony of all, you know, because white people are probably, you know, the least racist to their own destruction, basically. And so when you have a discussion about racism, and it's always framed essentially, you know, you're not actually having a discussion on racism. You're having a discussion on you know, cultural Marxism, which is, you know, just a lie, basically. And, you know, other groups are far more ethnocentric than white people. I mean, I know, you know, I've got friends of mine, I was sent you this off air, Richard, you know, I've got friends of mine who are, you know, white guys and stuff like that. And they're completely devoid of any, you know, ethnocentrism, to the point where I just find it odd where you wouldn't have some of that in you, because every other group has it. I mean, even football teams have that tribalism. You know, Manchester, you know, this is quite funny when you think about it. There used to be actual violence between football teams in the 80s. They were actually, British teams were banned from Europe because these football teams would go at it together, you know. Bayern Munich will be fighting Man United, and, you know, Man United hate Liverpool. And, you know, that's genuine hatred and tribalism. You don't actually get that really from white people. So they have to just sort of like lower the threshold as to what is racism is, and this institutional racism and microaggressions and all the rest of it. But yeah, here lies the white race. Their only problem was they weren't racist enough.
Well, Paul, do you want us to hold you over?
No, that's fine.
Over through the break, Paul?
No, that's fine.
Yes.
Okay. All right, stand by, folks. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we're back, folks. The alternative media, Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf. And Stephen just made an interesting observation in the chat. Our tribal instinct has been perverted and usurped by popular culture and sports, turning it inward against members of our own race. And I do have to say I certainly agree. As far as Paul's initial comments, Paul in California's initial comments, Mike and Patrick, would you each like to give a response before we let Paul give a retort?
You want me to go ahead?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, I think, by the way, big fan of Paul in California. Always love when he what he has to say. I think he's right on point, spot on. Yeah, race is the most important issue. Not understanding the race issue is a big disadvantage. It is the only issue, as far as I'm concerned. But I want to go back to something here. On the Vladimir Putin topic, real quick, and that is one can needs only need to read Anthony Sutton's great works. how Wall Street financed communism, the Bolshevik Revolution. The Bolshevik Revolution was actually financed by Jewish American banking interest for the purpose of creating a two superpower world so they could divide and conquer and expand territory through a fake Cold War. Trotsky's real name was Lev Bronstein. Very important to understand. He was directly financed by the Jewish bankers in America. And this was very important for spreading capitalism, which, you know, communism, you know, is the biggest ally that communism, that the capitalism ever had, because it gets rid of competition in the marketplace. But anyway, race is the number one issue. Paul, you do a great job, and I love when you call in. I'll pass it on.
Well, I have to also say I agree with your comments, Paul. I'm a great appreciator of Dr. Pierce as well, and I do get a lot of great articles through National Vanguard. I recommend that to people. It's a great website. Patrick, though, would you like to give a response to Paul's thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure exactly which ones to respond to. There is, it's certainly true that white people are the least ethnocentric. There have been studies of in-group bias. Unfortunately, Jew wasn't a category in this particular study. And I wish I could tell you the source of it. I'll try to get that on my website when I relocate it. But amongst the American categories it was looking at, the blacks were the most ethnocentric. They had the biggest in-group bias, and I don't think that's a surprise. Whites had, not only did they have the least in-group bias, but certain subsections of whites, white liberals, or at least young white liberals, had an out-group bias that they were rooting for or preferring people who weren't white, an out-group bias. Now, I don't think an out-group bias could really be genetic, because a group with an out-group bias isn't going to remain a group after enough generations. So I think, and I guess is that to Stephen's point, that it really was, Paul from Ireland's point, it's really the indoctrination of us by popular culture, by the media, to have this bias, because it couldn't be something in our genes. And one last point is, although I don't think anybody could deny that Jewish elites are on a winning streak, because they're obviously doing very well right now. But if you look historically, European people did pretty well for a number of centuries. You had about five centuries there. European people did pretty well in terms of basically conquering the world and inventing modernity and science and technology. We had a pretty good run there, and I don't think we're necessarily at the end of the road either. So, let's not be too black-pilled.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. The only thing that the Jews historically in Europe have a history of is losing.
So. All right, well, Paul, would you like to, make another comment? We're coming on the bottom of the hour.
Sure. First of all, thanks for the kind words, John. I actually have a copy of that book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. It's a very, very interesting read. Obviously, one of those things that should be taught in every high school, just like so many other things that are not taught. What I would say about the comments I believe that were made by, I think it was Paul, was that, regarding, for example, the soccer clubs and, the loyalty of their fans and, that sort of group bias. I think it is natural in all of us. It's certainly natural in me. And I know there's lots of people that probably feel similar to me, but it's been beat out of us by the ruling paradigm of the media.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming up, I'd like to say a couple more words after the break.
Okay, all right, we'll hold you over for some last thoughts after the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we're back here on the Alternative Media. And we have Paul in California. We have quite a few other callers building in the queue. So, yeah, Paul, you had some excellent points. If you could just give a short follow-up, please, sir, and we'll move on. But appreciate your call.
No, thank you. Just as quickly as I can. So, yes, there's a few things that have been burned in my brain over the years, and one of them was when Dr. Pierce, in one of his many talks, said that we must take and hold territory and exclude others. There isn't any other recipe for the preservation of our country, of our culture, of our race, that we absolutely must take and hold territory and exclude others. There is no other formula. That's the only formula. And I also, like I said, ringing in my ears is a really great speech one time by Kevin Alfred Strom, when he talked about the fact that essentially we could lose all our inventions. We could, every single thing that we ever wrote, including the Constitution, could all disappear tomorrow. And as long as we're still here, we can recreate it all, because we exist. Our biology is real. Everything else is just a creation and an output of our biological reality. And that's the way that we absolutely have to think. And yes, the in-group, out-group bias of others is a quite interesting topic. And there's a guy online, he's got a BitChute channel called Atheism is Unstoppable. He makes a lot of great points with humor. And he recently went over in one of his videos these various charts for the other races. And it's amazing how each and every race thinks of itself highly and does not look that well upon the other races. And, you know, he broke down the way each one regards each of the other races. And I found it quite interesting that in every single case that he pointed out, they put white people as the least, likable and the least well thought of. Each and every other race thinks that of white people in general. And I kind of felt like the way he did when he portrayed this information, he says, okay, if you're going to do us like that, you know, then we need to rethink the way that we think. So, there's more to say, but I appreciate all you guys today on the panel, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you for your call. Great points there. Bruce in Texas. Hello, you're on the air, sir.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Coming in?
Loud and clear. Yes, sir. Yeah, loud and clear, sir.
Super. Okay, just doing a sound check there. I just have a different perspective on the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. I think we're being short-sighted here. Remember what Obama's chief of staff said, never let a good crisis go to waste, you know? And this can potentially weaken AIPAC's grip on Congress, you know, much to their chagrin. You see how the liberals are lining up alongside the Palestinians. I think that's a good thing. I also think it's just, from a personal point of view, I just get satisfaction when I see someone's being bullied, give the bully a bloody nose, you know. And Hamas launched thousands of rockets against Israel. I mean, that's quite a remarkable feat, you know. You know, they got bombed to smithereens. They were still fighting back. And so I appreciate that. As far as Hamas being controlled opposition, well, possibly at the start, but remember, in 2010, one of their top leaders was assassinated by Mossad. Now, Mossad doesn't go around killing their assets. On the other hand, you had ISIS, which was actually advised by Mossad advisors and also supported by the U.S. and various other intel agencies. So I don't think Hamas is controlled opposition. If it wasn't for Hamas, the IDF would have just rolled right in with ground troops, but they were too scared to do so. So that's what brought about the ceasefire. And I'd just like to see what Patrick Satterley has to say first, if I can, and then the rest of y'all can comment.
Patrick?
Yeah, I think those are good points. Thank you for making them. And, you know, in Congress, so you've got... It's probably a very small number of the in Congress, actually, probably just a small number of the representatives who are voicing any support for Palestine. It's probably pretty much confined to the squad. But the anti-white coalition that has been cobbled together in this country under Jewish leadership with blacks and immigrants and homosexuals and, you know, white women or feminists or whatever, they don't all have the same interests. And to the extent that they're kind of low info and dependent on Jewish leadership, maybe that coalition can be focused on anti-whiteness, which is, you know, how it's been working. But when you get something like this that gets a high profile in the news, it exposes a lot of the fissures. And, you know, there's if you go to campuses, and this is something that's been going on for a while, you go to the campus of Smith College or Wellesleyan or wherever, and you'll see these big signs for, Palestinian solidarity. And Jewish student groups will always complain about that. That's that's one area where you know you could say, well, it's been allowed, and I think it's a reasonable point to make that people like Ilhan Omar are allowed to get away with saying what they say because that can be fodder for the boomers, the Fox News watching boomers. But that be as it may, the radical left in the United States has been pro-Palestinian, and so what you're seeing can expose fissures within the anti-white coalition. So there's no reason why the blacks or immigrants need to stand with Israel. That's not something that they have been as thoroughly indoctrinated with. Obviously, the Black Congressional Caucus has been, because they are in need of millions of dollars every cycle for their campaign coffers. But the rank and file black person or immigrant, they haven't been nearly as indoctrinated with pro-Israel feelings as white people.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'd be great if you could get the BLM to start recognizing Ashkenazi Khazar Jews as white and turn the tables on them. You know, these are white supremacists. They just have a different religion. You know, we know they don't identify as such, but I mean,
well, and the use of
you have to have, you know, warfare Jewish like that. Like, go ahead.
I was referring to that with the George show, the term Jewish. Who let the dogs out?
I'm going to hang up there. Thanks, though, right, for taking my call.
All right. Okay. Thank you for the call. Charles in Florida.
Hi. Hey. Hi. Hi there. Yeah, Gilad Atzmon, I was just reading his latest thing. He doesn't think so, that Israel has done so well recently. He's talking about, yeah, he used to be in the IDF, too. He's an Israeli dissident. He said the IDF is very much concerned about Hezbollah. Hezbollah has been able to outfox them. He has other things that Israel's Jews and Israelis are not totally infallible. I don't think they're omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. I think they're just fallible like any other human beings. So we should pay attention to people like Gilad Atzmon or Israel Shamir, you know, what they say about Israel. They're Israeli dissidents. Well, Shamir is a convert to Christianity. That's my comment.
Okay, who'd like to respond to that?
Well, going back to that previous caller, the fact that Israel assassinated a top Hamas leader is proof of what I'm talking about. That was probably one that was not meant to be. So they got rid of him. I think that proves my point. If you're not on the same page, you're going to be allowed to continue. If you're not, they will get rid of you. So I think that actually strengthens my argument.
They have these constantly, even not during these flare-ups, they have they're constantly sending missiles into, you know, an apartment block in Gaza or wherever, and taking out Hamas leaders. I mean, it's not just one. This is something that is continuous.
Yeah, exactly. They get rid of the leaders that aren't on the same page, and they the ones that are get to continue.
It just goes on and on and on.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, Stephen, Paul, would you like to respond, either of you?
No,
it does appear. Go ahead, Paul, sorry.
No, go ahead, Steve. Sorry, go ahead, man.
it does appear that Israel has not been doing so well with this. It's like they've almost, seems like they overplayed their hand with the I don't know where these missiles came from in Lebanon, but they have not really been able to stand up to Hezbollah since that, when was it, 2006, when they last time they had a really, you know, back and forth exchange with Hezbollah. They fought that one pretty much to a standstill, and it's been 14, 15 years later, and they keep having to mow the grass in Gaza, and now we have fighting in the streets like they haven't had since the Intifadas. So it does look like things are falling apart, but there's always that degree of deception too. I don't know what is going to happen in the near future. This seems to be more of a localized kind of thing at the moment between the political aspirations of the two sides, manipulating, using the military in their, you know, in their, in, on their behalf more than it does a grand chessboard move at this point. But I'm not, you know, what do you guys think about that? And thanks, Charles, for bringing that up.
Yeah, well, Paul, do you want to comment?
Well, I agree with, you know, the idea that Israel are, you know, vulnerable. There was a missile that got through their U.S. tax funded Iron Dome from Syria about 3 weeks ago, and I don't think they could defend themselves against Iran. If Iran decided to launch a campaign against Israel, I think they could succeed.
I hear some claiming that Iran is controlled well enough by pro-Israel international forces.
Well, again, I think that's nuanced. I mean, I think that's a nuanced situation because if they're actually having to kill, so say, some of the Hamas guys, it shows that it is nuanced. It's like what I said about the IRA. You will have guys who are in there who are plants that are working for the opposite side, a fifth column, and you'll have guys who are genuine threats, so, you know, who are actually genuine opposition. So you can, the two things happen together, you know.
It's assumed that there's a percentage of infiltration, just the question of how much. Could it be enough to stop Iran from being a serious threat to defend itself, which is all it's done in over 200 years. Well,
yeah,
Charles.
And by the way, I was going to say that there will be times that Hamas, and this happened in the IRA as well, when they discover that one of their own is actually, you know, working for the other side, and they're taken out as well. It's just that because the Israelis and the British in that conflict control the airwaves, that's not going to make the news. But, you know, those little internal wars are going on. It's just as soon as they kill one of the Hamas leaders, it's blasted all over the news because it's, you know, it's propaganda and designed to demoralize the Palestinians. It was the same in the IRA British conflict. Every time the Irish took out, or the British took out, say, like one of the IRA commanders, maybe it would have been of the South Derry Brigade or whatever, you know, it made the news. But it didn't make the news when you had the opposite situation occur, you know.
Well, Charles, we have a few other callers, but do you have any last brief thought there, sir?
No, I don't. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate the call. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Right,
next, we have Tony in Chicago. Hello, Tony. What did you want to bring up? What's on your mind today, sir?
Yeah, no, I just figured I'd chime in before I got to the my weekly white genocide mass vaccination center to protest. Been doing the vaccine passport sign. Seems to get some good response. Not to change the subject here, but I just want to, as we all know, in Illinois and a lot of these communist Jew-controlled states, you know, the stores change the rules. If you're vaccinated, you know, you don't have to wear a mask. And obviously, you know, under law, they can't ask you if you're vaccinated. And what's so incredible about it, I never wore a mask. I put it under my chin, but I'll just get to the point. I walk in with no mask, no problem. And guess what? I'm the only one in the store without a mask, even though these are majority black stores. Every last dumbed-down dope is still wearing a mask. It is just unbelievable. to see this, that they believe in this hoax. But, yeah, you know, you guys are talking about the, you know, the survival of, I mean, this is an old topic, the survival of the white race and, you know, trials and tribulations and, you know, we're facing mass genocide, maybe, with this vaccine. But, you know, look, to be quite blunt, okay, the white race is not going anywhere until, A, we have more kids, and I'm the biggest hypocrite of them all because I'm 60 and I never had them, and, two, until we throw these, you know, Israel-loving, mentally ill Israel-loving, Jew-subservient, Jew-worshipping, you know, church asshole filth in the back of the bus that were that control the Republican Party. Okay, until you throw this ilk in the back of the bus, we ain't going nowhere.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. I don't know if we could skip this last break to fit in the remaining calls. But there are a few more callers in the queue.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Actually, I have a couple other callers to get through. I guess we took a little too much time with our rotating responses. What's on your mind, David? Maybe David.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's the big click. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed with the theme of this. I'm a big fan of Albert Einstein. And if you read up, you just go to the basic Wikipedia page for Albert Einstein. He was a Zionist in the earliest days, 1920s. But by the 1940s, he realized that organized crime and what's known as the military-industrial complex took over Israel and the development of the state of Israel. And so you got to look at Menachem Begin. In fact, I've got in my hands right now a book called The Last Mafioso by Jimmy the Weasel Fracciano. And in it, he describes in 1946 when Menachem Begin was doing a fundraising tour of America that Albert Einstein put together a petition to keep him out of the country because Einstein not only didn't trust him, he knew that he was wanted by Interpol, that he knew he was going to get Jews killed by pretending to be some friend of Israel when in fact he was just a mobster. And what was even worse was the Irgun were trained by Hitler, trained by Mussolini's black shirts. So to pretend that Jews are a massive body of people that all think the same is preposterous. They've got organized crime figures. They've got totally corrupt figures. And what's going on in Gaza right now is the last gasp of Netanyahu, who's trying to keep his seat when he's about to be indicted for any number of other crimes. He's just playing a wag the dog by killing a bunch of innocent people.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, sir. And then we have Dan. We have Dan in Washington. Yeah, we just have about a minute or so left, Dan, so we won't be able to get much more. And what did you want to comment on the discussion today?
We need to differentiate Christian denominations from the pro-Zionist to the anti-Zionist. And we need to start trolling Zionist denominations like the Southern Baptist or the evangelical ones, just like we used to troll conservatives. And it does matter what denomination you are. So, you know, there are denominations like the Quakers and the I think Episcopalians who voted to boycott Israel. So you need to at least switch to one of those and give up your Southern Baptist heritage or evangelical or whatever. If people can't do that, then, you know, they shouldn't be in the movement or talking about any of this stuff at this point. So, you know, yeah, we need to attack these Zionist Christians. And I had another point, but I don't think I have time. And
appreciate the call. And thanks to all you gentlemen. We'll try to get down the flow here, but I think it was a good panel, good callers, and I appreciate all your time, gentlemen.
Thanks, Richard.
Please support RBN, folks. Your donations are what keep everything possible here. And you can go to our donate page, of course. Many ways you can donate. All the info is right there. All right, well, I'm filling in for Fair and Show. This is Richard Carey. Have a good weekend, folks.
Razor and I walk a line on that silver blade. Slap in the dust with his darker eyes red with a slaughter of innocence. And I will pray for her. I will call her name out loud.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EazeOff.com.
EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.